As you know, as we enter this new month, we have engaged another theme, which is empowered faith, undeterred conviction. It is right there on that banner in the background. I have chosen to pick a message titled Undeterred Faith, based on Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and verse 33, Undeterred Faith. We will be reading this text. I invite us to stand as we read Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22 to verse 33. This is what the Bible says. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Jesus practiced moments with God, what you call one-on-one with God. And hence we understand where he drew his strength from and where he drew his equipment from and why he's able to walk on water, as you will hear, because he spends quality time with his Father. Then in verse 24, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage." Pastor Ambrose shared on this word courage last Sunday. "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat and the wind died down, let me go back again. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we celebrate your word. We thank you that it is food for the soul, and we want to eat it together. And so, my God, I set a table before all of us. And Lord, I pray you use me as I serve your people this word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We may have our seats. The undeterred faith. Matthew 14, verse 22 to verse 33. This word undeterred, another way of saying it, is unstoppable. Unstoppable. So you could also say the unstoppable faith. You could also say resolute or determined or courageous. This is a faith that is firm. It is brave. It is undoubted. It is valiant. It is fearless. A fearless faith. And so in this passage, when Peter is exercising his faith, because he has seen Jesus walking on water, he's exercising this kind of faith, the undeterred faith. And I want us to go step by step as we look at this kind of faith, the undeterred of faith. Peter is a commoner. He's just like any one of us. And undeterred faith is not just for the clergy. That is to mean for Jesus and his ilk. This undeterred faith is personable. It is a faith that can be practiced by all everywhere around the world. And so it's not for the elite. It is a faith available, accessible. It is a faith that can actually be practiced by mothers, by fathers, by children, by youth, by the seniors, at every level and every situation of life. It is a faith that is possible, the undeterred, what I've called the unshakable, the fearless, the valiant, the courageous, the determined faith is a faith that is for all men and all women across the planet Earth. And I think together we need to understand from this passage what kind of faith this is. You know, the undeterred faith. Now, when we say the word faith, Hebrews 11:1 defines it. And the Bible says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's a definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And so as we go through the month of July, let us go through this month with this undeterred faith. Like Peter, we have stepped into the month. And there is a sense in which, whether you like it or not, and because of the shifts of time, we find ourselves waking up in a new day, waking up in a new month, ending up in a particular location, and these things do come and they do find us. And it is a day at a time. The undeterred faith in the month of July, which is number 7, where we are trusting God for breakthroughs. You know, the number of perfection, the number of completion, the number of breakthrough, like Jericho walls coming down after 7 times going round, 7 times on the last day, and 7 times 7, which is a number of jubilee and a time of rest. You have a month which is coming to cap what God has been doing, like Pastor Edith has prayed, in the last 6 months. And then we begin to see the manifestation and the reward of the investments that we have made in terms of faith. This is the undeterred faith. And so I declare in Jesus' name that the month of July is going to be a great month for all of us who are here. Is somebody receiving that in Jesus' name? And those who are also in the pavilion and online, there's a declaration from this altar that we are going to see things God has not done before. Again, 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10 says, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, that God has placed in store and also revealed to those who love him. And so as a pastor, I sense in my spirit that this is the month that God is coming through for someone in a very, very special way. So 3 things I want to share about this undeterred faith. Number 1, it's a convinced faith. That word convince, the word conviction, which we have on the theme of the month, coming from the word convinced. This is a faith convinced. You know, it has been educated by the word of God, and it's a convinced faith. You can also say a persuaded faith. It is a persuaded kind of faith. And so when you read in verse 25 in the chapter that I read, our chapter today, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. You can see God is able to do amazing things. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, this is you and me, and we see the things God is able to do. They were terrified. It's a ghost. They were not familiar with this kind of thing, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus assured them, and he said immediately to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then Peter, this sanguine, spontaneous gentleman, he's in his element. And he said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. And then in verse 29, I'll just read the first part. Come, he said. Jesus said, come. You know, Peter is like you and me. I mean, he's just an everyday person, just like you and me. But something is about to distinguish him from the rest of the pack. Inside the boat, there are a number of people. But, you know, Peter sees what God is doing, and he wants to do the same. That's very, very interesting. Jesus at one point said, greater works than this you will do. In other words, he said, the things you see me do, you are going to do greater things than these ones. And we, in Africa, 21st century, at this time, God is speaking to us. And he said, we have heard the works of our forefathers, and we have heard many things that were done before. But God is saying, we are the people who will actually, do those works, greater works that have not been done. They're just waiting. They're just waiting. And Peter, therefore, wants to connect with what God is doing. And he needs a word to be able to connect and engage with what God is doing. So Jesus creates a bridge and he says, come. He says, come. Let me say, there is a great divine invitation for us to co-work with God, for us to connect with God and partner with God and do the things God is doing for the sake of the world and the sake of the nations, that they may see what is doable and what is possible. A lot of things seem to be in the realm of the impossible, but from God's side, those are ordinary things. So Jesus is walking, kawaida, is walking on water, and then Peter sees what Jesus is doing, and Peter says, I want to do what you're doing. And I want to pray that our faith is this kind of faith, like that of Peter, that wants to do the things that God is doing. Let me remind us today that God is at work. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, my Father is working and I am working. And then he also told the disciples in John chapter 4, I believe it's verse 34, where he said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me, all my food, and to accomplish what he actually started. So God is working and he's working all the time. And my prayer is that we would have a desire to do the same things that God is doing. And the divine things look like they are out of reach, but when we engage them by faith, then they become possible. Faith is a bridge that makes us be able to do what God is doing. A convinced faith. So the faith that Peter, like I just read, is exercising when he steps out of the boat is not a superfluous faith. It's not a blind leap in the dark. It is an informed, instructed faith. It is informed by the invitation of God and by the word of God. The basis of it is the word of God. God, Jesus has just said, come. And therefore, it is more than permission. It is actually a command. It is also authority. And it is also a passing on of power that Peter wouldn't have otherwise. A lot of people, maybe Swahili catches better what I'm about to say. A lot of people wanajituma. Yeah? Swahili seems to capture some things. Yeah? And you find yourself someplace and there is no invitation card from above for you to be in that particular place. And so you find someone really, really struggling. But I thank God that out of this population in the boat, there is one who listens very keenly to the word of God and hears God saying, come. God's invitation is the best invitation you can ever get. You know, in Matthew 4:19, the Bible says, Jesus told the disciples, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men, or you shall fish people. Come follow me. Just simply come. It is called the invitation to come. And God has opened his arms like this. And he's opened the arms to all nations in this world, year of world changes. God has opened his arms to every human being from every nation. And he's saying simply, come. And therefore, his people must also open up their arms, whether in the village, whether in the workplace, wherever God has put you. We should be able to open our arms and also open our homes and open everything God has given us and be able to say, come. There are some young people looking for mentors. And they look up to you and you're doing magic almost to them. It looks like, oh, those are great things. And they are wondering, how can I get engaged in this kind of thing? Now, if you make yourself available and you open up your arms and you tell these wonderful young people that we have, and you simply say, you know, tell them to come, and you say, you can do the same thing I am doing. It is possible. So for Peter, it is not a blind leap into the dark. It is based on the word of God, which is come. It's a great invitation. In Matthew 11, verse 28, the Bible says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll do what? I'll give you rest. So if you're here, you're anxious in life, you know things, and you're struggling on your own, hear this word from above saying, simply come, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus is saying. And so the undeterred faith is a faith that is rooted in the word of God. It is not a blind leap in the dark. In other words, there is enough guidance, enough instruction that has been released in God's word for Peter to step out of the boat into the challenge zone. You know, in the comfort zone, you can only go far, this far. But the blessing of God is in the challenge area. That is the place where there are storms and winds and waves and all those kind of things. But when God has said, come, I'm telling you, you will make it. And I want to say, regardless of the economy right now, listen to me, regardless of the economy right now, this pastor is saying, you will make it. You will make it. You will make it. You will make it. And God is giving you the best of your time. In fact, you'll be shocked. You'll say, that was the hardest time in our journey. But look what God has done through me. And let me say this. The best time to invest is actually when things look like they are basically under. And my people, friends, and everyone who is here and following online, let me say, you had an investment plan. Go quickly and do it. Do you know Peter has to step out of the boat and step on the water and find that it's God who makes it rock solid? Yeah? God has a way in a difficult time. And I'm encouraging you, go ahead and connect with what the Lord has put in your hands right now. If you need to buy land, this is the best time. Does somebody agree with me? Sometimes I want his pastor saying, hallelujah. Jesus is telling Peter, Jesus can see the storm. Jesus can see the waves. Jesus can see the danger. But Jesus is telling Peter, come. Peter, this is the time. Make that move. Just simply come. This fearless faith, undeterred faith, this kind of faith is not superstition. God has given a word, and therefore somebody needs to rise, and somebody needs to get out of the boat, and somebody needs to step on the water, because God knows how it's going to work in terms of the next step and the next step. And we have a number of people who really developed a very powerful statement of faith because of the God they knew or they have known. One of them is David. Psalm 23 is a famous psalm that we normally read. But let me remind us that Psalm 23 is a statement of faith of a man like you and me. Yeah? This is an ordinary person who is able to generate a statement of faith because of his connection to what God has said into his life. And you find somebody very confident. The psalmist says, and he's talking about the Lord is shepherd in first person. He's saying, the Lord, my shepherd, not my grandmother's shepherd, my grandfather's shepherd, or my father's shepherd. He's speaking first person, and he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he said, because of this, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. These are statements of conviction. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. You can imagine Peter with his statement of faith and sense of conviction in the word of God, and say, since God has said it, I will rise above my feelings, you know, my feelings and my fears, my emotional condition, my mental condition, my reality around me. I will rise above these things because God has spoken and his word is bigger than these situations. And I, based on this understanding, will step. Now, oftentimes we use physical eyes, we use physical ears, and we use our hands to feel our way around. But God wants to be in charge and he wants to be in control. He's standing out there. You're in the marketplace. You have a project. And God is speaking to you. And he's simply saying, make the next move. He's simply saying, go for it. Don't wait anymore. This is your time. And I'm saying, that's why I'm saying the month of July, undeterred faith. This is your time. This is your month. Go for it. Is somebody nyitaring what I'm saying? Yeah, simply go for it. Just go for it. Make that move because God is with you. And David therefore made a very profound statement of faith that covers seven key areas of life. And he's making a statement in this sphere of life, that sphere of life, that sphere of life, by introducing and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he says, my provider, my guide, and seven areas, and he speaks with great conviction. Our prayer in the 21st century is that men and women will rise at family level, national level, continental level, who will be able to stand by faith and stand undeterred and lead us to the next level, step where no one else ever stepped, and begin to do things that are actually extraordinary simply because they take God's word, they believe God's word, and they start stepping out in God's word. When we went to Elgeyo Marakwet and meeting all these top leaders, I could see they are wondering, who are these guys? And you know, I think probably they were expecting we have all these ideas about how to transform that economy. Let me tell you, undeterred faith goes by just simply the word of God. And Jesus said, go and make disciples. And you can see Pastor Simon there with his tie, with his tall people around. And we are there, you remember? You can see those the boardrooms and how we chaired, you know, those meetings. Yeah, the speaker is in on the governor's place, and we are there very confident. And you're saying, tell us about this county. What are some of the issues? And we are saying, yes, no problem. We'll do a conference in Nairobi, and we shall be a bridge. And we know that God is going to sort this out. Hallelujah. In fact, this Tuesday at 11, we'll be at Upper Hill, Murkomen's office, and just engaging on the same. And saying, yes, it is possible to go to the next level. It is possible. And I want to say to the young generation of Africa, don't lock yourself in a room just watching internet. Get out of that boat. Begin to connect with what God wants you to do. Even when you start as a small step of faith, just simply step out and begin to do something. And in this church, we have faith. We ask people to get passports. It's a year of world changers. We have the faith, people will go to the ends of the earth. And God will use even your platforms, your workplace, you know, to get you to these destinations. Some people came with passports, others didn't. I am telling you, God is opening those doors. And right now, I have someone who came up to me and he said, Pastor, because people, we are believing God for passports, if there is someone in the church who cannot afford the fee for the passport, I am paying for 40 people. 40 people. Somebody came up to me. And this morning, 20 people, we enlisted 20. There were more, but we said 20. And we have left 20 for this service. So after the service, see Deacon Joe, he's right here, would you stand? Deacon Joe, if you really can't afford, that is, if you really can't afford to pay for that passport, we are standing with you as you make that step of faith. Thank you, Deacon Joe. And our prayer, thank you. Our prayer is that those in the diaspora, connect with the people here, send the invitation letters. Because this is called the steps, the baby steps, it's called the stepping into the waters. And it is not presumption. It is based on the fact that God has said it is our season and our time to reach the nations and to make the difference. Send those letters. Connect with the people. I have a girl this morning, Pastor Regan. We connected. The connection is already clear to Canada. And she has a visa. She doesn't have a ticket. I am going to get somebody to pay for that ticket, about, you know, the ticket for that girl to be able to go to Canada. The season has come, and the answer is here. The blessing is among us. The church representing Jesus is today saying, come, let us try the impossible. And then the people are stepping out of the boats, and they are actually now going into uncharted waters. And as they are stepping there, they are suddenly realizing it's concrete, because the word of God has actually made it solid, like we sang in the song. It's now become solid ground. So let me say, there is a future for everybody. Amen. There is a future for everybody. It doesn't matter what family you have come from. It doesn't matter your history. It doesn't matter what they have said about you. There is a future for everybody. And the church, God is using the church as that agency that will help people step, because Jesus spoke and he said, come. You know, step into the next level and into the next level. And so, a convinced faith. And I want you to be convinced that God has spoken into your life and said you are more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 8 verse, how many know where it's found? You are more than a conqueror. Do we read our Bibles? This side? Yeah, where it says you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 38, 37. Yeah, let's give ourselves a hand clap. We've all done very well. God bless you. Yeah, Romans chapter 8. So God's word is practical. It is not just to be left here. And if we are going to see the greater works and the manifestations of the work of God, our young people engaging the employment sector, going to study outside this country, our young people going into spaces where they have never gone, it is my responsibility, it is our responsibility, just like Jesus is encouraging Peter, simply get out of the boat and begin to step. It is our role to be able to step in that place. The greater works are going to come because we have taken God's word literally, and because we've started practicing this word, and we begin to do it. And I sense that we are in a season, this month of July, and I'm sure I'll give a testimony. Yes. A young person or somebody wanting to go, the visa is there, no ticket. Another person saying, I have the ticket, I am paying for this ticket. And then we shall give a testimony here and saying, so and so has been located somewhere, another one located another place, another one located another place. There is a future for our children, and there is a future for every one of us. But secondly, of course, this undeterred faith. Not only is it a convinced faith, it's an obedient faith. It takes bold action. In verse 29 to 31, come, he said, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out, caught his hand, and he said, you little faith, why did you doubt? It is a faith that is obedient. It matters what you do with the word. When God speaks, then we do something. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 6, just to develop this further, Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 6, you see how it works out now in the marketplace, because Jesus is the Lord of the marketplace. You think he doesn't understand your business? He knows it. Yes, to the last detail. And he knows that you've been struggling. He understands. But he also has a plan out of that struggle. And when he says something, then we need to do it. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. When he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They signaled their partners in the other boats, come help them, because theirs were filled. I am saying this because we are going to respond, and we are responding even as a church. Somebody who was walking with an empty tank will walk in the overflow. I am saying it when the economy is what it is. You know, Isaac planted in famine. Genesis, you know, 26 verse 12, isn't it? Genesis 26 verse 12, let's have it. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped what? 100-fold, because the Lord blessed. God has opened the heavens. God has blessed. God is saying you will walk in the overflow. take the word of God, and God will show you this month where to throw the net. He is the author of strategy. Sometimes we sit in meetings and conferences and nobody is praying, and we are trying very hard within ourselves to draw strategy. You know, we interview several people and then baseline surveys, and then we say the trends and patterns are like this, and for that reason, the next outcome should look like this, and we are writing all kinds of statements. But I want to say that the authority of strategy is our God. When they caught nothing the whole night, the experts caught nothing the whole night. And they were on the side there just picking from the nets, and they were actually picking weeds. They were basically cleaning up the nets. They caught nothing. Jesus, the master of strategy, after using the boat, he says to them, you guys, it may be the wrong time according to you to do fishing. You know, it might look like the wrong time for you, but listen to me. I am telling you, this is the time to make a move. Therefore, throw your nets. And they went to the deep. And you know, they caught more fish than they caught before. And therefore, the fishing business in Capernaum, yeah, got an injection of increase and overflow. And all the shops that had nothing to offer and sell, the wholesalers, the retailers, the value chain in terms of dividing this, selling that, and doing everything that is done, all of a sudden is ably supplied. You know, Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I dare now make it first person to you and say, God has opened the heavens now, and his supply lines are coming in your direction, you know, according to his account. Why don't you give him a hand? Because God is doing it. We didn't have rain for almost 3 years, 2.5 years, and you saw the devastation. Economies started shrinking. And to the extent, and this was after, and it's COVID, and then it's dry, and it's like almost a curse that's just killing all the resources. And we reach a place where we say we must pray. And when we pray, then God begins to work and move. Let me say, the author of strategy is God. And you're stuck, pray. Do you know when Peter looked at the wind and the waves, he started sinking? Do you know what Peter did? He called on the Lord. Suddenly there is a hand that shows up in your direction, and you had sunk up to here, you know, completely. Somebody in this service, maybe on the diaspora, and you are feeling its pastor is just gone. The only thing remaining is the nose, because even the mouth is covered. And you reach there, then a hand shows up. It's up to you to lift your hand in prayer and call on the name of the Lord right now. And then he will release life. He will inject life, and also a strategy that causes you to be lifted from down there to the next level, to the next level. Somebody is receiving an uplift right now in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter how deep you have gone, whether it's family issues, whatever issues you're dealing with, it doesn't matter how deep. And let me tell you, your tomorrow is not in the hands of a human being. It is not in the hands of a company. It is not in the hands of the government. You are waiting for help from all these places. I want to say your help is not any of those places. Psalm 121 says, where do I lift my eyes? Is it to the hills or the God who made the mountains? I will lift up my eyes to the God who made the mountains. Psalm 121. I'm speaking to somebody here. You need to just shift your engagement and call on the name of the Lord. I have taught here before that the name of Jesus is a full menu. You don't have to be an expert in prayer. You can kneel down, lift up your hands, and simply call the name Jesus. I mean, you can just simply do that. You simply call the name Jesus. That's what Peter is doing. You don't have to be an expert in prayer. Some prayers are too long. By the time you're finishing, you have died. You need the short, quick prayers. Yes, because you need immediate intervention. And suddenly you pray like that, and God actually lifts you up from one level to another level to another level. Is somebody sensing the lift right now? The hand of God is powerful. There is no load he can't lift. And doesn't matter how deep it is, God's hand can be stretched. Yeah? To Mrs. Digger, you know the verse I quote all the time. Isaiah 59 verse 2. What does it say? God's hand is not short that it cannot save. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Let's see whether I'm quoting correct because I don't want to mislead. Go to verse, let's start with verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Just go to verse 1. Isaiah 59. Yeah, let's read it together. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. And even that prayer, which is sometimes a whisper, because all the energy is gone, I want to assure you that God actually hears that prayer. And he extends his hand, and then salvation gets where you are at. He's an obedient faith. So just simply step out by faith. Circumstances may shift and problems may show up, but then you pray, and in the path of obedience, God lifts you back on course. But finally, of course, a contagious faith. This faith is magnetic. In verse 32 and 33, it says, "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" When God does the breakthrough in your life, your neighbors will keep come rushing to God. We are praying this for a testimony. In John chapter 4, verse 39, Jesus engages the Samaritan woman, shares, you know, who he is with her. She gets a revelation. Her life is turned around, and this woman is a different lady. And just equipped with that testimony, she goes out back to her city called Sychar, and so magnetic, the whole city comes in her direction, and then she takes the whole crowd, you know, to Jesus to show them the one who had actually changed her life. God is going to do something in this homestead because he wants the neighbors. He's reaching the neighbors through you. And it's good strategy, isn't it? Kingdom strategy. Yeah, and you better say, let it be my home that God is going to use, my children and my family and my situation, that God does a miracle here. Do you know there are some villages, they haven't seen a miracle for 50 years? And I went to another place, and they told me, Brother Joe, at it's a tortoise that was buried by somebody somewhere. And that's why nothing develops in that area. I said, I'm the tortoise remover. And I have come to this village. We must plug out these tortoise in Jesus' name for a testimony. There has been dryness and wilderness in your life for quite a bit, but I'm here to declare the month of July that is sorted out, and God is sending the rains of refreshment upon, yes, the dry and the parched land. And so God does it for a testimony. And so when we obey, then people begin to see the outcomes of the same. Then it becomes very magnetic. I am praying for somebody today who needs to step out like Peter. This month, let us test the limits. Let us operate on the basis of God's literal word. Let us believe him as he has said, and let us step out. I speak against the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit of discouragement, there is somebody I sense who has been discouraged so much in their life, they have stayed in one place. I break that spirit right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I am unleashing us to the next level, and I'm saying all things are possible with God. With man, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I was in Nakuru yesterday, and I was speaking at the Rift Valley Sports Club. Pastor Regan, we were together, and you remember that point of standing up for George and Leah. George did a great job trying to lift up Leah, and I quoted a verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's give a hand to the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us now embrace the undeterred faith. I'm just about to pray. This is a faith that is convinced. It doesn't need further convincing because it's rooted in the word of God. Conviction. It's a convicted faith. But secondly, is an obedient faith. It doesn't just have head knowledge, it has feet action. Joshua 1:3, everywhere you step, I have given to you. But finally, is a contagious faith. As we respond to God and begin to work like Peter, suddenly Peter and Jesus as co-workers must come back to the boat walking on the water. And let me say this, faith doesn't have to be perfect. Matthew 17:20 says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed from here to there. I don't know what kind of situation you have, but this July, we must do kingdom business. Hallelujah. We must break whatever needs to break, and we must move to the next level. And so this is the opportunity that we have. And you and I agreeing together, then all things are going to be possible. The Bible says, if you agree on a matter on earth, it's agreed in heaven. And what you lose on earth is lost in heaven. So we have today looked at Peter's journey of faith. It is a journey of an ordinary person who responds on an ordinary day to a word from God, and he enters the realm of the impossible. He is now coming back to the boat as a co-worker with God, and he's coming to the rest of his friends who couldn't get out because of fear. And you know what? The contagious nature in the boat, they start worshiping. You know, because they have seen this miracle and they see him coming, they start all of them worshiping. I am saying in your own homes and families, God is going to do something in your life that will cause that home to begin to worship and lift up their hands to God in the name of Jesus Christ. It is possible. So faith doesn't have to be necessarily that faith goes up like this on an X and Y axis. It is taking a 45 degree lift and it's just going like this. No, it may be the 45 degrees, but along the 45 degrees, it's going up and down. There's a wave, sometimes up, sometimes down, but doesn't matter the size, you know? Well, faith is not necessarily something we did in mathematics. The exponential e to the power of x. And where you find the graph going up like this, sometimes there will be points of inflection. And so you come up, you go flat, you go up, you go the other way. But God never gives up on us. He reaches out into us. He lifts us and causes us to keep going. So in your journey of discipleship, Jesus has called you to salvation. Jesus has called you to sanctification. He's called you to grow. He has called you into all these things. And he's saying, you won't do the journey alone. I am going to go with you. I've had my moments as a person. I got saved in Form 2. When I was in Form 5, you know, very vibrant, a leader throughout my high school up to Form 6, finishing like this, I wanted to take a break and take it easy. It's like Peter, you know, take it easy and hide some places. But thank God for this guy who never gave up on me, and you've heard the story of the keyhole, and I was a difficult person at that place because I really wanted to kind of take it easy. But this guy kept looking for me. And you remember that time, because we must do Bible study, he's at the keyhole waiting. Me, I think he has left. When I come to that keyhole, I meet an eye. There's an eye on the other side. That is God's hand reaching out to this guy who is sinking and actually bringing him up again to be able to walk again. God has a bright future for all of us. Right now, I'm mentoring and coaching young people. There is one I shared in the first service. Actually, he was sitting upstairs with his friend Ian. They were both upstairs. Now, the young man Ian, I discipled him. Now, he has connected with the other one that we are now called discipling. Yeah? He's a student. He's finishing. He's getting his degree very soon. And this other one also. And you know what? I have done 2 weeks, two sessions with him. And you know, he is just catching scripture, like just hungry. The first verse I did with him was 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. What am I teaching him? Assurance of salvation. Because that's what he needs right now, to know that he's truly saved. Then another verse I gave him, 1 John 5:11 and 12, that says, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son of God has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. This young man, I mean, he is doing it. He has gone further than me. He has memorized the whole of Psalm 91. And he's telling me, Pastor, this is my time. I'm receiving everything that you are pouring out into my life. And I sense this is my time. I'm walking a journey with him of 10 lessons. And they're in this booklet titled Growing in Christ. This one, Growing in Christ. These are foundations of faith. And if you want to have this undeterred faith, then you need to connect to some Bible study organized like this one here and allow God's word into your heart. This book is available in our maturity department, and in the Connect tent after this service, you can actually find it. It is good for a father and a son to do together. Father and a daughter, mother and a daughter, brother and a sister. It is something that can be done right in the home situation so that the faith can be rekindled again within our homes and our own families. And I encourage us to connect. And the time is now. Do you need a word from the Lord? Yes, it is there. It is found in the scriptures. But we need the discipline of going into the Bible and trusting God for every day. I'm about to pray now, and I know there is a Peter who has been in the boat for a bit, and you're saying, Pastor, the world has been so harsh and so rough. All I turn this way, I see the storm, I see the other thing. You don't understand. People have been dying, people have been sick, and all that around me. And there is a Peter who has stayed within the boat. God is saying in that situation, step out this month of July. Just be courageous and strong. I will hold you by the hand, and I will lead you from one degree of victory to a higher one. God is waiting for somebody who will say, that's my word. Come is my word. Out of this boat, out of this place I've stayed, feeling secure and feeling maybe this is where I need to be. God is saying there is another place. That's why we are talking about passports. That's why we are talking about other nations. That's why we are talking about other spheres of places. And we're praying, God, open the eyes of our people so that we can actually see the opportunities and what God is about to do. Don't get depressed there. Don't die of depression. Don't die of anxiety. You know, don't feel like that company is your lifeline, that boat. You know that company, and you have been beaten left, right, and center. Things have been very hard for you in that organization, and you have just been sticking there, yet your health is getting worse. Your relationships are failing, and you're losing so much more. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? There are those things that are so critical about life, your soul, your family, your health, among other things. And Jesus is simply saying, this is your month. This is your time. Get out of there. Just simply get out of there. Trust me. Step out. And you will be surprised what God has in store for you. Somebody here will end up in Malaysia. Is somebody catching this? Amma, you don't like Malaysia. You know, when God is calling in certain places, I said, no, Lord, why didn't the pastor say another? No, I said Malaysia. Here, somebody, Malaysia here. And your blessing is there. Now, what is needed is undeterred faith. This fearless faith, that is what is needed. And somebody here will end up in New Zealand, somewhere here. Allah, there is no rest for New Zealand. It is there, it exists. Yeah, somebody here. Simply engage and connect. I'll come to the other spaces another Sunday. Hallelujah. But generally what I'm saying is this. This is the month. Break that fear. Break free from that fear. Simply believe. Simply trust. Engage. Make the move. The time is now. Because if you don't, it's not going to be good in that boat. You know? God is saying, it is time. Make that move. I don't know how this message translates where you are and in your situation, but God just told me to simply say that. If I may sum it up, God is saying, make the move. The time is now. Simply step out. Let's all stand up as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the passage once again that brings out Peter, a very ordinary person, and how God you engage with him in the realms and strata of faith. How you are able to build him to the place where he can step out. But even when he sinks, how you stretch out your hand and you lift him to the point where you come victoriously back to the boat with him as a co-worker, as a co-conqueror, as a co-achiever. And those who are in the boat are able to only sample what has been achieved through Peter, who trusted God. And God, we are that church that believes in you. We are that church that you're going to use to make a difference in Kenya and make a difference in Africa and make a difference all over the world. My God, thank you for the faith you are building within us and the assurance that this is the month of undeterred faith, the fearless faith, the unstoppable faith. The faith will go to a hospital and pray for a sick person and fully trust that God's healing is coming upon that sick person. The faith that will go among the boards of men, the high places, and raise a voice there and say there is a solution from above. My God, this is a church and we are the people in these times that you're going to use. Father, therefore, I raise now a point of connection and a point of plugging, because somebody needs to plug in. And by prayer, I know it is possible. You know yourself, you know your family, you know your situation. You have seen the waves around you, you have seen the wind and everything. And sometimes your eyes, physical eyes, have just been seeing the wind, seeing the, not the wind, but the waves, and seeing the dangers, and the eyes have shifted from Jesus. And probably you have been in that situation. It's beginning to affect your health and your own sanity. You're getting depressed and you have this sinking feeling. God is saying, I am stretching out my hand, I'm giving you a chance, because I want to raise you that we may walk victoriously together. I want us to believe together and believe God for the undeterred faith. Let's believe God together for this faith. My God, in Jesus' name, based on your word, we receive corporately and individually the faith that you have as you walk on water. And as we look at you doing it, my God, we decree and say to ourselves, we shall do the same thing that you're doing. And despite the times and the seasons, despite what we have seen in the news, my God, we determine we are the ones who are going to break through, and we are the ones who are going to be victorious. And when we come back to the boat, we shall lift others up. I see our people all over the world, and my God, as they make their mark all over the world, they shall also be a blessing back home, and they shall be a blessing to many others and lift them up to the next level. And therefore, together as a congregation, let us receive this undeterred faith, which comes out of the word of God, which comes out of obedience, and which is very magnetic and makes us effective. And so together, Lord, we commit ourselves to faith in you, and we speak to ourselves and say, my eyes turn from the storm, focus on Jesus. Somebody should tell themselves this: my eyes turn from the storm, focus on Jesus. Believe in his word and now act and move by faith. What was impossible in the month of June, I now decree, if you have made that statement, shall now become possible in the month of July. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the month of July shall become possible. And God, I know the things we say here are not just theory. They are backed up by your power. And somebody is connecting with this new destiny for them. Now open those floodgates, my God. release your blessings. Now you can raise your hands to God. Open the floodgates, my God. Release your blessings. According to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 13, there are 15 blessings. And I'm praying, God, release every one of those blessings. The blessings that touch everything about us, the fruit of the womb, the work of our hands, the strength on our feet, that create protection around us, that work on our going out and also our coming in. In verse 13, the blessing that causes us to rise to be top and not bottom, to be head and not tail, the blessing that reverses the curse. Receive these blessings, because these blessings are not for angels. These blessings are meant for us, and we pick them from the word of God and we release them. I release the blessing that opens doors. Revelation 3:8 says, I hold the key of David. I've opened a big door before you. Don't you see it? I release the blessing that level mountains, the blessing that causes the wildernesses to turn around to lush lands. I release the blessing that reverses every negative word that ever was spoken over your life. I release the blessing that cancels fear, cancels discouragement, cancels depression, cancels panic attacks and anxieties. I release the blessing that causes disease, the blessing that brings plagues. The blessing that cancels plagues. I release that blessing. The blessing that reverses diseases. I release that blessing. My God, I release the blessings that opens the doors and gates for your people. And if there is something that was difficult yesterday, by this blessing, my God, it becomes easy. I release a Jacobic blessing, the blessing of Penuel. When Jacob was in that place, he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And God, you blessed him. It is a blessing that changes somebody's name, the blessing that changes the destiny, the blessing that directs somebody in a new direction. This is a blessing of new beginnings. And Jacob was given a new season, a new lease of life, and a new beginning. This is a month of that kind of blessing. I release the Jabezic blessing, the blessing that expands the territory, the blessing that causes the hand of God upon us. The blessing that keeps the evil one away. My God, we are showering now in the showers of divine blessings. We are showering now in the showers of divine blessings. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And also as a pastor and as a father figure, I also release the blessing of a father figure. May the blessing of our heavenly Father come upon you. Right now, I see the hand of God on your head, because God is blessing you. Receive the Father's blessing right now. And that blessing breaks generational issues, things that may pursue you from the past, because you have received the Father's blessing. And as you leave this place, you are blessed on Monday. You are blessed on Tuesday. You are blessed on Wednesday. Blessed on Thursday. Blessed on Friday. Blessed on Saturday. Blessed this coming Sunday. And you are coming with a testimony. Hallelujah. Because of these blessings. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands just once more. My God, I lay a hand on the continent of Africa. And today, the 1st of July, the 7th month of the year 2023, I decree together with this congregation that Africa is blessed and Africa is released from the encumbrance of the past, that every caveat is cancelled, every charge put on this continent is also swallowed in the blood of Jesus Christ. From the root, from the soil and the waters and the valleys and mountains and the forests and all the spaces of Africa, among the peoples of this continent, today formally, officially, by the undeterred faith, we dare now take big things. We decree and declare the full blessing of Africa and its people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, just believe. It is just simply about believing. And the other person on the other side. And you can tell them, just believe. Hallelujah. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. God bless you.